Week 4 is in the books, and your Nittany Lions improved to 4-0, 63-24. Just a huge victory. Started off a little concerning, but a win is a win. Pat and I break down everything from this game, weekly awards, and start to look ahead to next week. Let's get it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of No Names All Game. Today is Sunday, September 23rd, and Penn State is 4-0. I am your host, Chris, as always, coming to you from Los Angeles. My co-host, Pat, this is actually a new one for us, coming to you live from, is it Brooklyn?
Brooklyn, New York, baby.
Woo, so this is our
first apartment.
This is our first ever remote podcast. Gotta say, it's a little weird, but we're powering through for the fans.
A little strange, but I can roll with it.
So you're on the East Coast this weekend for a wedding, right?
Yes.
How was it?
It was great. And so it really worked out for me that the game was on Friday this week because the wedding was on Saturday.
So nice.
Huge plus for me that we played on Friday.
Very good. Very good. Now, wedding time, are you like life of the party? Are you even get pulled out there to dance? What's your go-to?
Yeah, I did a little dancing. I would say my intoxication level was extremely appropriate.
Okay.
Right where I needed it to be. So it was just a great time. And best wedding I've ever been to as well.
Awesome.
Fancy. The food was great. Just amazing.
Very cool. Well, congrats to the happy couple. Yeah. And congrats to our Nittany Lions. We're 4-0. Another week
actually,
of
the wedding I was at was a former Nittany Lion. She actually used to date the center of the Penn State football team.
Oh, okay. So this is perfect.
Exactly.
Yeah,
she got married to someone else. But, it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, we won't knock him, but screw that guy a little bit. So another week of kind of tale of two teams. Started off a little concerning, and then second half, team comes alive, and we win 63-24. So lots of fun stuff to talk about, a couple things that we definitely need to correct and get ready before next week. But let's start, as always, with our weekly awards. So for the listeners, we give out our weekly Lion and our Lamb. So Lion is MVP, Lamb is your least valuable player. Pat, who's your Lion this week?
I mean, this is an obvious one, but you got to give it to him. Miles Sanders, of course.
The man.
I mean, had 200 yards, 3 touchdowns, along with some huge touchdowns. Here's a guy, he kept us in the game this week. Trace really didn't have his best game. He played fine. He made plays when he needed to, but he wasn't like amazing, but Miles Sanders was amazing.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, yeah, he was my first choice, of course, for this award too. 22 carries, 200 yards. That's an average of 9.1 per carry.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was just moving the chains. His long was only 48. So like we've talked about, it's not inflated. I mean, he's something special, man. And this, I think, was his sort of breakout game, breakout moment where, national eyes are now starting to look at, hey, that Miles Sanders dude is pretty damn good.
It just seems like every time he's touching the ball, something good's going to happen. You're getting at least 5 yards out of him.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's funny. I was perusing Twitter yesterday, and I saw one of the Penn State accounts tweeted, like, Miles Sanders is a top 5 running back, changed my mind. And I was like, well, no, of course I wouldn't change your mind. I think you're very right. But I wanted to come up with something snarky, so I went and I looked at the rushing yards leaders for all players in Division I. And I had to delete my tweet when I replied back because I realized people were still playing, so the numbers weren't completely updated. But now that it's Sunday, Miles Sanders is number 6 on the Division I national leaderboard for yards, coming in at 495. I would even put him at 5 because one of the guys above him is the quarterback from Navy, who I guess they just run the ball all the time, so that doesn't count.
Yeah,
get out of here, quarterback.
I think they run an option offense, Navy.
Yeah. And then the national leader right now is a dude named Darrell Henderson from Memphis. He's just putting up video game numbers. He has 709 yards on 58 attempts. So his average is 12.2 per attempt. So I don't think that'll sustain.
Yeah, and like who the hell are they playing as well?
Exactly. So after that, you look at, Jonathan Taylor. He's up there doing his thing. Dude from Kentucky is pretty good. Dude from San Diego State. But I mean, Miles Sanders is doing it at 7 yards per carry. I mean, that's better than all of those guys, save for the Memphis dude. So I put him up there in the top three or four when you're talking about true running backs at big time programs. He's doing it better than anyone else, or at
Yeah.
least at that level.
Yeah, I agree. And you made a great point last week. I don't remember if you said it on the podcast or before, where, you know, if he had come after literally anyone but Saquon Barkley, he would be hailed as like the next greatest Penn State player ever.
Yeah, and it's I said it in the post game, like instant reaction is I'm done. I'm not even gonna keep comparing him to Saquon. I love Saquon. He will always have a piece of my heart. He had a great day today for the Giants, but this is the Miles show, man, and he's doing it and he's getting it done, and that's where our focus should and needs to be. He's killing it.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta love having this kid on your team. He's just been amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, my lion this week, I figured Miles would be the first choice. So I had a couple that I was going through, a couple different options. And I think we've given our lion to an offensive player pretty much every week. So I'm going to flip the script a little bit. I think maybe I've given it to like a defensive unit before, but I'm going to give it to a player. And I'm going to give it to Garrett Taylor, who is a
Yeah, okay.
starting safety for us. He's one who, this is his first year who he's really starting. He's played rotationally in the past, but he was second on the team in tackles this week with seven total. He had one and a half tackles for loss, saw him in the backfield a couple times, and he made just a couple of really nice open field tackles that I don't know if you could say touchdown saving, but damn near close to. When those Illinois running backs were getting going, he made a couple that, grabbed the dude to the legs, really nice open field one on one. And it's one of those that, again, maybe if it doesn't even pop off on the stat sheet, which it does this week because he's the second leading tackler, it's just one you're watching the game, you're like, wow, that dude's around the ball all the time, making big plays. And I think we need that in this defense is, we've talked about this a lot, is how we need somebody or a couple people to step up and be that dude. And I'm hoping this is sort of the first step to him establishing himself as, a top end safety that we can count on. So Garrett Taylor, you are my lion of the week, brother.
Yeah, he had a great game. Our defensive backs, for the most part, did a very good job. Really, there were a couple plays here and there I'll talk about later that, I was disappointed in, but our defensive backfield as a whole, I think, is very good.
Yeah, I agree. And we'll talk about that plenty when we get into our Ohio State preview later this week. My mind is already there. I'm like, fuck Illinois game. I'm over this. But we're going to go through the Illinois game first. So, yeah, I agree with that. Garrett Taylor, my line of the week. All right, moving into the lamb. Who's your least valuable guy needs to get together this week?
So this is a tough one because the second half was my gut reaction was again to give it to the defensive line unit, but then they had a really good second half. I'll
Yeah.
talk about the first half that I really didn't like later on, but I got to give my lamb to Jake Pinneger.
Nice.
You
Nice.
know,
Well,
he
not
just
nice that he's a lamb, but
yeah, I
good choice.
really underwhelming. He's fine, but he's really struggling with the field goals. He's gonna be fine as a, an extra point kicker. But his field goal game is not looking great, and that miss was a bad miss.
Yeah, it was ugly. And I'm actually kind of happy you put him here because I actually had this in my ugly section. So I have another one. I'll save it. But the kicking game in general for me, yeah, his extra points, he was 9 for 9, which is great that we have 9 touchdowns. And I think he's perfect on extra points throughout the season. But
Yes.
this is his second field goal miss. So he's 1 for 3 on field goals. And
It's
it's
not.
not like they're 50 yarders,
No, they're all makeable.
Yep. So that's scary. And
And
we
his
knew
misses
coming
have
into the
been
season.
bad misses too.
Right. And we knew coming into the season this was going to be an area of opportunity. You have two true freshmen doing kickoffs and field goals. So not only Pinneger, but I was going to put the other dude, Rafael Checa, on blast a little bit too. He kicked another one out of bounds that gives them the ball at 40.
I
That's
think
at
kick
least the
two
second.
out of
Did he do
bounds.
two in this game?
I think so.
I had a couple of Miller Lights. I was going to say that's at least the second game this season that he's done that. We go into Big Ten play, the heart of Big Ten play. To Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin, you can't be kicking the ball off and giving it to them at the 40. Like,
Yeah,
that is not a recipe for success.
I mean, it's pretty. I think in college it's the 35,
All
but
right, close enough.
yeah, I mean, and if you're playing a close game, you can't afford to have the other team start with the ball at the 35-yard line.
Yes, exactly. And a missed field goal will do that, right? I mean, you
Yeah.
said we're taking these at the 35, ish. They're starting the ball there on their 40, 45.
Yeah, I mean, it's not it. And the other thing is, he kicked a couple out of the end zones. Like, he's got leg.
Yeah.
It's just he really needs to work on his consistency. Because that one that he kicked out of bounds was just like a looked like a total shank.
Yeah, I think he just botched it and missed where his normal spot is. And again, that sets another team up, or maybe a more talented team, to really capitalize on our mistakes. So, Jake Plinager, you are a lamb this week, sir. All right, my lamb, I was kind of the same thing. I didn't have like a ton of people that I really wanted to call out here, because again, you leave this game with a very positive sort of memory. The second half was great. We score a bunch of points. Both of my bets won. Shout out to me. I'll get to that later. But for me, it's John Reed. So we talked last week how he had missed two games and we weren't exactly sure why. Came back this game, and this is completely like qualitative. I don't have a whole lot of stats for him. He just looked lost, man. I think it was, I don't know if you remember, I think it was after the botched Nick Scott fumble recovery where, you know, we stopped him on the half yard line and Nick Scott couldn't corral that fumble. The next play, they throw like a dart into the end zone, and John Reed is standing there like 5 yards away from the dude. It looked like he didn't even make a play one way or the other. And it almost looked like maybe a miscommunication. He was supposed to get the short man and somebody else was supposed to drop, but he just looked like he didn't know where he was supposed to be. And again, a guy that's supposed to be a shutdown number one corner, who I still believe he is and can be, he just looks lost, man.
Yeah, I was gonna talk about that play specifically when we got to like the ugly. I'll cover that though, because I think that John Reed is a good choice for a lamb of the week. Because on that specific play, you saw Illinois, they basically ran, it wasn't really a hook, but just sort of a seam route where the guy stopped. And I mean, they were throwing line of scrimmage. There was like the 6 yard line, I think.
Yep.
And he's playing so far off his man. And so the bigger issue to me wasn't his, like the way he played on the play, is everything he did, like sort of pre-snap, I guess, is you're playing in the red zone from the 6 yard line. Nobody should be getting cushion anywhere. They're not going to be able to burn you from there.
There's
no reason to give a receiver any sort of cushion in that situation, and it's just a really dumb play.
And even if you're playing in zone at that position, press up, make them think you're man, right? Like, you got to give a little bit of effort there. And again, I'm no defensive specialist by any means.
Well, even when you play zone defense, you still kind of play a man. You play men who are in your zone, so it's not like you're really just defending a zone.
Right. On that play, it looked like he was like, hey, I got this back corner of the end zone and I'm not moving unless someone comes to me.
Yeah, exactly. It was a really sort of a bonehead play by him.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the stat sheet now. No logged tackles all game. He had one pass deflection. That's his only logged statistic. So kind of how we've talked about Juwan in the past couple weeks. Real quick shout out, and I'm sure we'll get to this later, but Juwan, for the first time ever, is not a lamb. Congrats. But kind of how we've talked about Juwan in the past, we're like, listen, we know he'll get it together. That's how I feel about John Reed. I think we will see him make a ton of plays down the stretch, but right now it's just, hey, you're a lamb for this week, buddy.
Yeah, just not a good game from him.
Yeah, and it happens, but when we're up 63-24, I'm okay with it. Not so much when we're going to be in close games.
Week, but you got to make sure that, you know, in the next coming 5 weeks, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, and that's why this game was a little scary too, before we jump into the good, bad, ugly. I don't know if I said this on last week's, but Franklin had a funny quote in last week's press conference where he said, winning is the deodorant that covers up the funk of a game. You know, there's a lot of things that are smelly and ugly, and if you win, you kind of forget about them. So he was talking about how he actually coaches harder after wins than losses, because, you know, you want to enjoy the win for the moment, but then you got to go and really fix those things. And that's what this game felt like, is like, yeah, we blew them out. We covered, right? Good teams win, great teams cover. Mm-hmm. But a lot of funk. So let's get into our good, bad, ugly. We'll start with some more good, and then we'll talk about some of that funk that we need to get better. So what's your good this week?
My good for the week is our run option. It seems like Trace just other than maybe one play, made the right decision handing it off or keeping it between him and Miles every single time. And Trace had a really good rushing game and had some really key timely rushes in that first half when it was not clear that we were going to win this football game. And it's every single time he kept or he handed off, it was the exact right decision. And I love seeing that, because that's going to be really important going forward.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'll piggyback onto that. The good for me was just the run game in general.
Yes.
You look at those stats. So Miles Sanders, we already talked about, 200. Ricky Slade, 10 for 94. And of course, he had that big 61 yarder that inflates
Absolute
it. But
beast.
he had two touchdowns, really, really good looking runs from him. He put the ball on the ground once, but it was kind of that weird, like, direct snap kind of thing. And he picked it up. Not super worried about that. And then Trace, 15 for 92. So you got almost three guys over 100 yards, you know, three guys over 90. That's a really good run game. I'll get to the in the bad a minute about a little bit more on that. But when it's working, I mean, I get it. Just keep feeding them. Yeah, 387 yards on the ground is a pretty good day for the big boys up front on that offensive line.
Yeah, and then the other good I have is Juwan Johnson finally
Yeah.
back into the offense, man. Four receptions, 51 yards, and a great touchdown. I loved seeing him. He got involved from the start of the game. You know, he had one of the first receptions of the game, might have been the first reception. And it was like a, you know, 5, 6 yarder, nothing special, but just seeing that gave me so much confidence. I'm like, all right, he's in it. He's here today. And then, you know, and that's what happened. He showed up, and it was great to watch.
Yeah, I was so excited. I think you're right. I think it was the very first play of the game because I remember looking around to people at the bar and I was like, "Juwan, is he back? Is he back?" It's almost like the
Back.
Texas, is Texas ever back, or Tiger. Tiger is back.
Oh,
Side
Tiger.
note, he won today. But yeah, I think Juwan is back. That touchdown, man, that looked so pretty. Only his second touchdown of his career. So now he's got the game winner at Iowa and that leaping. I mean, I don't know if they call it posterizing in football. I know that's a basketball thing, but man, I would put that on a poster. It was a really nice grab. So yeah, I'm happy you called that out. Juwan, really, really fun game, and I hope that leads into more sustained success for him.
I think it will. I think he's you're gonna start seeing him really showing up, especially with big games coming up. I think he's gonna really get into it, be part of the
Yeah.
offense. And I think Trace knows that. You know, he showed that he's a guy that Trace can depend on. And Trace knows that. You know, when we're playing these tougher teams, he's gonna be a part of the offense that we need.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's get into some of that funk. So listeners, what we do is we go good, bad, ugly. Good is self-explanatory. Bad is something that, you know, not great, but we can live with. And then the ugly is where we talk about the worst. So what do you have in that middle category? What do you have for your bad?
All right, my bad is I don't know if you remember the third Illinois touchdown when they threw that like flea flicker, I guess.
Yeah.
And so my bad there is Imani Orarie. He shouldn't be getting fooled by that play because he's got to actually be reading his keys. For anyone who doesn't know, when you're a defensive back, what you actually look at, you don't watch whether the ball's handed off. You look at what the linemen do and whether they're run blocking or pass blocking. Those linemen were still pass blocking on that play. And it's not like it was even a play that looked like the quarterback was scrambling and about to come up. You know, it was if you break it down, you know, obviously hindsight's 20/20, but it's a play that, you know, he's not even approaching the line of scrimmage. And Amani just saw the handoff and went right in instead of sticking with his man on what was very clearly a passing play.
Yeah, they played him like a fiddle on that one, and it's always tough being sort of, you know, called the backseat driver, if you will. But when you're sitting at a bar or at home somewhere watching the game and you see that play develop, you're like, "What the fuck are you thinking? The dude was never running. How could you not see that?" So like, I get it how in real time instincts somewhat take over, but I think you're absolutely right. It's like he just saw the dude like get the ball pitched to him and he just bit real hard, and they burned him for it. It was a very easy wide open touchdown from a running back to a receiver.
And it would have been that's coverage that he, you know, he makes too.
Yeah, because even after the bite, it wasn't like he was super far off. If he hesitates, you know, 2 seconds more, I think he's in place to make a play, at least attempt.
Yeah, and like I said, it was just sloppy, kind of lazy football where he didn't do his job right. Didn't read his
Yeah.
keys, didn't watch the lineman pass blocking instead of run blocking. And it's annoying to see that.
Yeah, that's some of that funk, man. That 63 points will make you kind of forget about, but it's the
He'll
X's and O's.
get ripped for that in the film room.
Oh, absolutely. And he's a leader of that secondary. He's, you know, he's had his interceptions, he's had his
Yeah,
big
he's better than that.
moments.
That's the other thing. He's better than
Yeah,
that.
and I think he knows it too. So he'll get ripped, but I think he knows he messed up and he'll take that to correction. All right. My bad of the week, and stay with me on this because I'm gonna take you on a little bit of an adventure. My bad of the week is play calling. Ricky Ronnie, I got to talk about it a little bit. First season as the offensive coordinator, and you're going to be saying, Chris, how could you possibly have a problem with the play calling when we win 63 to 24? So, Pat, let me ask you a question. We had 71 total plays from scrimmage. How many of them do you think were rushing?
Probably close to 50.
51, right? So 51 rushes, and I'm kind of like counteracting myself already. I'm gonna be a little hypocrite because I just said, hey, if the run is working, of course you're gonna keep running it, right? Miles Sanders had 200 yards. Trace and Ricky over 90 yards. Of course, I don't have a problem with that, but when you have Trace McSorley throw the ball only 19 times in a game, I'm a little concerned, man. And the other part is, okay, the receivers are inconsistent. They're dropping balls. We don't really have that hero, so let's go to the run. Sure, I understand that too, but you can't just completely abandon one phase of the game because things aren't working. That's how you get yourself into really, really big holes and big traps because you get to a point where you're kind of one-dimensional. And we have the read options that you were talking about, so there's always that element, which is nice, but you need to be able to establish a passing game. And I think what concerns me the most is if you look at these four games, we're 4 games into the season. First game, threw the ball 35 times, right? Kind of had to. App State, we were down going into overtime, had to. Side note, App State is 2-1, and they are clobbering their opponents. So I don't know how that goes into rankings, but I'm happy to pull away with a win there. 35 pass attempts first game, 30 the second game, 22 last week, and 20 this week. So we have consecutively gone down in our passing attempts week over week over week. And I worry what that means for confidence in the pass game versus, oh, the run is working, so we're going to do that. Like it almost tells me, hey, we're not super confident in this, so we gotta just keep feeding Miles.
Yeah, I'm gonna actually disagree with you on that one, just because I don't think that is the, I don't think that's why there's fewer passes. I think it's just, you know, when you we're putting up 63 points, you're not gonna pass the ball as often. And the other thing was, I actually, so I as a fan sitting at home, I was kind of thinking the same thing where I'm like, man, like I want to see us open up the offense and make Trace throw, but when you looked at it sort of strategically. I think it was actually the smart decision to run the ball, not only because it was working, but in the first half that you know, especially the second quarter, that Illinois defense offense was kind of picking us apart, and by running the ball, we were keeping them off the field. And so I actually liked the fact we were controlling the clock, controlling the pace of play, and keeping a defense that we couldn't stop at the time from burning us by keeping them off the field running the ball.
All right, that's not a bad point. I still am concerned about the fact that we have consistently gone down week over week because I want to see at least some stability there. Because you're listen, we're going to get into these big time defenses that are going to give us some trouble on the run, and you need to establish that rhythm. Like I get what you're saying, but you got to throw some of them in there,
I understand what you mean.
just so
I
that
don't
it's
see it
confidence, you know?
as something to worry about going forward because I think we're going to start again when we're playing the Ohio States and the Wisconsins and they're big score games that are close the whole time. I think you're going to see us passing the ball a lot more. And I don't think
Yeah.
there's, especially when you hear Franklin talk about Trace McSorley, I don't think there's any lack of confidence in him.
No, and maybe I said that wrong. I don't think there's a lack of confidence in him, but I think in the passing game, because of some of the drops and some of the inexperience at receiver, I wonder if they're worried about that inexperience getting to him, meaning like he's throwing these balls up, kids are dropping them, kids aren't getting open. So that kind of messes with the rhythm. But I think you're exactly right, is in these games, we are going to be passing more. And that's sort of why it worries me, is because if we're going to be needing to pass against Ohio State and Iowa or Wisconsin, I want to make sure we're prepared for that. So yeah, I think after your point there, I can see both sides, but I want to make sure that these guys know exactly what they're doing going into these big games, you know?
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from because, again, like as a fan, purely, I felt
Yeah.
the same way watching the game. I just wanted to watch Trace pass the ball more.
Sling it, man. Sling
I
it.
do understand where you're coming from. I just don't see it as an issue going forward.
I hope you're right. I really do. And again, this is why I have it in the bad and not the ugly. I'm not like super concerned about it, but
Yeah.
it's something to note. And I will say one that I actually am a little pissed off is we'll call it the Happy Valley special because I'm not going to call it the Philly special.
Ugh.
Toss back to Miles. Miles throws it open, wide open, Trace in the end zone. I was so excited. That was a super cool play. Sucks that it got called back for a penalty. But if you've got something in that, you're in like your bag of tricks that you've been working on, why are you going to unveil that in the Illinois game? Like, why not save that for a big moment? You know?
That is a good point.
I just like you hear all the time about coaches not showing their full playbook in the first few weeks of the season because they don't want to see their conference rivals seeing everything that they've got. And I don't know, maybe that's just me overreacting because I really liked the play, but that just seems like one that maybe you'd want to hold on to for a moment where you kind of need it.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with you there.
Yeah. So I don't know. Ricky Ronnie, you're in my bad for now. I mean, again, we're averaging 55 points a game. I have no problem with what this offense has been doing. It's so much fun to see them just putting up points after points after points. I just hope we see a little bit more of a balanced attack, but gotta keep, what is it, feeding the, I don't know, there's some saying about that, but we'll move on because I don't know what the saying is. Let's get into the ugly. There's definitely some ugly, so start us off. What do you got?
Yeah, so, I mean, all the ugly really took place in the first half, thankfully. Yep. Other than the opening drive of the second half, our second half was nearly flawless. But in ugly in the first half is, again, our defensive line just, like, really underperforming. And it's something I've talked to you about before. They're fine at creating pressure, but they tend to get into this thing where they like kind of head down bull rush, and it's really easy to run around that. It's easy to find holes in that. And that's why you saw in the first half their running game just pick us apart, like absolutely ran all over us. And what I did like, though, is that you saw an adjustment in the second half where our defensive linemen were suddenly making plays at the line of scrimmage, where they're not making them in the backfield, which is great. Making plays in the backfield is phenomenal. But you saw a smarter play out of them where they're meeting the line, the running back at the line of scrimmage, and they're clogging up holes. That's what they weren't doing in the first half, is closing any holes. They were creating holes.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. So to put some numbers there, Illinois had 245 rushing yards against us. And I'm going to jump into this one with you. My ugly was the run defense as a whole. I agree with you, defensive line. So we only had one sack this week. So Coach Spencer, we will be sending $5 your way to Sack Hunger. Hopefully we'll have some more in the next couple of weeks so we can continue to build up that charity. But yeah, only one sack. And it's funny, they actually attribute it to half to Rob Windsor, half to Ellis Brooks. Rob Windsor took that dude down. Brooks came in for the hit at the end, which was nice. But yeah, one sack is not great. The run defense for me, what's super concerning is our two leading tacklers on this game were Garrett Taylor, who I talked about, and the guy who actually had one more than him, Jonathan Sutherland. You know what position he plays?
Safety.
Also safety.
Yeah.
If your leading tacklers are both safeties, don't love that. Like, and I know that we've had plenty of times in the past where Marcus Allen has been our leading safety, but they've used him in different ways. He would play down in the linebacker area, down on the line. Yeah, so like in a game like this where you're two deep safeties who are not particularly known as like, you know, big hitters. I mean, they're both young, so you don't really know. They're your leading tacklers. That means the guys are getting to the second and third level pretty consistently.
Yeah, they weren't making the majority of those tackles at the line of scrimmage at the, you know, 1 or 2 yards up. Those were tackles being made, you know, 8 to 12 yards deep.
Yep, exactly. Looking at the tackle sheet, just a quick shout out. Trace had another one, I think, after an interception. So biggest hitting quarterback in the league. But yeah, the run defense is scary. And you're right. I mean, after that, I think they scored once in the second half and then we went like 42 unanswered. So the corrections are great. And this is the scary part that we've talked about from a couple of years ago where we were consistently a second half team is you can't get into that kind of hole against a good team because they're not going to shut down like that.
Yeah, I mean, and you do have to give some props to their running backs because they were great this game.
Yeah.
I got to give a little shout-out to my dad. I was watching the game with him, and they handed it off to their running back. My dad goes, wow, hand off to Epstein. That's something you never expect to hear.
Papa Calicchio coming in. I love it. I love it. Yeah, those guys were good. Epstein had 73 yards. Corbin had 87. And then they had a couple other guys who all had like 20, 30. So – yeah, they were just – it seemed like every time they were handing the ball off, the dude was in the middle of like the linebacking core.
Yeah, they were
you
second
even knew
level,
it.
like right away.
Yep. I will say the one part you talked about before with you know our D line kind of plugging some of those holes, it was really good to see some of those like big boys kind of get in there at the end of it. There were some plays that who was it? It was Rob Windsor and then I think Kevin Givens. They were just bodying dudes. Like
Well, in the
really just
second half, they were.
yeah, that's what I
They
mean.
did a
That's what I
really
mean.
great job playing smart in the second half, again, plugging up holes. But they got to do that more consistently. I think part of
Yes.
that is that it's a young group and they get a little over aggressive.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that's what I want to see is like they're big dudes. Like Givens and Windsor are both big defensive tackles that if you just eat up some space and let the play kind of come to you where you can break off and make that tackle, I think they're going to be okay. One thing I do need to point out, I don't know if you saw this yesterday on twitter.com. Have you heard about that one?
I have. The
Matty
president did
Bowen.
that, right?
Yes, exactly. Very good at it too.
Yeah,
Matty Bowen, who we vowed not to speak about again because he's not relevant to the team, he tweeted yesterday at 8:12 in the morning. So this is like, you know, the morning after the game, kind of cryptic. He doesn't tweet often. His last tweet before this was August 31st. So his tweet coming out of like Twitter retirement says, "Gotta fill those gaps, dot, dot, dot."
I mean, I think that's just him watching the game.
Yeah, but like that's
I
your
don't think he's
only
coming back.
tweet. Like, no. I don't think he's coming back. It almost seemed like he was kind of like throwing some shade. Like, I don't
Oh, I
know,
don't
man. I
think so.
didn't.
I think those are his boys.
I hope so. Like, and I know that they are, but I don't know. It was just a lot of people were like, a lot of people were making a big deal out of it. I mean, I think this is his account. Imagine it's like a fake account, and I got tricked into this.
I think people are blowing that up about nothing. I think, first of all, those are his guys right there. And they
Yeah.
love him,
True.
as far
True.
as I know, because there was a lot of support for him when he tweeted about coming back. They were all
Yeah.
really excited. So I think they
All
like
right.
him, and that's just him watching the game. And that's, I mean, I'm really, he's right. You do.
Yeah. Yes. He's 100% right. All right. This is my clickbaity moment of the episode. Whatever. I'm over it.
Fair enough.
But yeah, the run defense is the ugly. You just can't give up that many rushing yards and expect to win. And you know what's funny is in our preview, I said, what did I say? If we hold them under 200, I'll be happy because I didn't think that those yards would necessarily turn into points. Well,
Yeah.
shit, man. 245
Didn't do it.
and they didn't do it, so that's a little scary. But
Yeah, and I mean, in general, we're a defense that gives up a lot of yards, but not a lot of points usually.
right.
But to see us doing both in the first half was worrisome
Yeah,
because
and
you get to a point where, like, all right, we've played Illinois and Kent State and Pittsburgh. It's okay to bend and not break, but once we get to the Ohio States and the Wisconsins and the Michigans, are they going to take advantage of, this 245 yards rushing? Probably.
It's oh yeah, big time, big time. So, I will give out a couple of positives in the defense that I missed earlier. Two interceptions, really good day. So our guy Jan Johnson had that kind of
A
funky one
man.
that popped up off the ground.
Man.
It was really funny to see him. Like
I
he was
love this
so
kid.
excited. He was
I
so
was so
excited.
wrong about him. Oh my God, I love this guy.
You and me both. He's playing well, and I think linebacker in general is still something where we don't know like who the best three are or what that core should look like. But I mean, Jan Johnson, let's see. He had six tackles and an interception. So he's the third leading tackler on the team with an interception. I'm okay with that.
Not bad.
And then right behind him is Ellis Brooks, who had six tackles, half a sack, and the interception. His was actually really nice. He read it perfectly,
Yes.
cut the dude off, and I think he almost took it to the house. He got caught, right?
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
he got caught. Yeah. But it was a really nice play. So it was cool to see the defense making some of those plays. You know, we had the fumble that Cam Brown just knocked out that dude's hands right at the goal
That was
line.
a great play.
Obviously didn't recover
Ball.
it, but the hit from Cam Brown was incredible.
That was a phenomenal play by him.
Nick Scott's just got to pick that up or fall on it rather.
Well,
He
that's
tried
the
to.
other thing. I wish he would have just fallen on it because he would have fallen on it in the end zone. So
Yeah,
it's not
touchback.
like, like that return was a bad idea to even try to return that because the chances he's making it 20 yards aren't great.
Yeah, and I think that's one where just like adrenaline takes over and he's like, I'm gonna be the hero.
Yeah,
You
probably.
know, like I mean, it is what it is, but you gotta fall on that one.
Agreed.
Like I said, Ricky Slade put the ball on the ground once, but didn't lose it. John Holland, that first drive, man, we were
Oh, yeah.
cruising. It was Juwan, it was John Holland, and then John Holland again. And kind of same thing. The dude just put his helmet on the ball. I mean, I personally don't know how you prevent that, but
Well, it's one of those things where it's like it's both a good play by the defense and inexcusable for John Holland. A fumble is you never have an excuse for a fumble because you can always prevent it. But it wasn't like he was sloppy with the ball either. The guy made a good play. He did. But you still shouldn't be fumbling the ball.
Right, absolutely. But a good game all around, all things considered. Penn State easily covers the 26-point spread, even if you got it at 28. I mean, that's just a really good game. Couple of let's see, milestones and records out here. So the Nittany
By the way,
Lions
I do
have.
have one more ugly for us.
Oh yeah, let's go. My bad, I
Eight
cut you off
penalties for
completely.
72 yards
Oof.
is really unacceptable. I mean, that entire first half, we just kind of shot ourselves in the foot.
Yeah, and that's been kind of consistent, right? I think every game we've had at least, I think seven might be our best game.
Yeah, I mean, you haven't seen a clean game out of us yet from beginning to end. You've
Right.
seen clean second halves. I haven't watched us play in just a clean game of football the entire game.
Yeah, I have no problem with that statement, and that's the scary part.
Yeah. We'll talk about it later in our preview, but
Yes, yeah. I mean,
big theme for next week.
this episode will probably be a little bit short. We're at the 36-minute mark or so. Not a whole lot to go through, but we'll have a full Ohio State preview for you guys coming later this week, where there is a ton to talk about. But let's wrap this one up a little bit here. We've got a couple of fun facts. So, Nittany Lions have scored 222 points in the first four games of the season, which is the most to start a season in program history.
Whew.
And it's actually the most in a four game stretch in any time in the season. That's pretty cool.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, I mean, the
Yeah, so.
offense is rolling, especially in the second half.
Yep. Trace McSorley extends his streak for consecutive touchdown passes to 32, longest active in the FBS. They put a graphic on the screen. I forget who was the leader, but they were showing it just like Power Five. So you remember a couple weeks ago, I said he has no chance of catching. The guy who has the all-time record, because I think he has like 47 or something. But
No,
if we were,
I think it's like 40. Oh, were they just showing Power Five in that graphic? Okay.
So I think he has a chance to get damn near close.
Baker Mayfield with 41.
Might be. So I mean, hey, theoretically, if we went to a playoff, get a couple extra games in there. I don't know. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, I mean, Gurley has more consecutive games with a passing touchdown than he has career starts. So that's pretty impressive.
That's awesome. He passed 8,000 yards for his career, so he's the second Penn State player to do that. Do you know who the first is? Fairly recent.
Oh, fairly recent.
Very recent.
Matt McGloin?
And more recent.
Hackenberg?
Yeah. I mean, well, Hackenberg, I mean, he was there. They just threw all the time because they had to.
That's
So,
true.
McSorley career high 92 rushing yards. His previous high was 81 against Maryland in 2016.
Yeah, I mean, he made some great decisions with the ball.
He really did. And when he takes off and he gets going, it's exciting to watch. So we'll talk a little bit more in our preview too. Like at this point, I'm like Trace is not in the Heisman conversation at all. And his stats, I mean, this is my problem with the Heisman, and I could give you a 20-minute speech on this. It's about video game numbers, not necessarily who's the best player, right? We saw that with Saquon last year. Whether you think Baker should have won it or not, Saquon was at least a finalist, and it was just absurd that he wasn't there. Trace is having a really, really good year. He's doing what he needs to do to manage his offense, to win games, to put up big points for the offense. I think the only way he gets into that conversation is if he has big games during our big games. You know what I mean?
Yeah, puts up, 300 passing yards against Ohio State, Michigan, and Wisconsin.
Right, exactly. So it's cool to see him breaking records, but man, I want to see him sling it a little bit.
I do.
And he'll have plenty of opportunity. So I think that's all the milestones I've got. With that, let's get into some of our Big Ten awards. Do you have any Big Ten awards prepared for us this week?
I do. I've
All
got.
right. So we got a Big Ten baller and a Big Ten bozo of the week. We try to keep it within the Big Ten, right? We're a Big Ten school, Big Ten team. So give out your Big Ten baller for who in the Big Ten had just a really great performance. What do you
All
got?
right, I'm giving it to a man named Anthony Viola.
Okay.
Violi. This guy is 100 years old. Played in the second year ever of the Ohio State Band, and this week got to dot the I in the Ohio at their game. At 100 years old, and he served in World War II in the European theater. I'm sure Anthony doesn't listen to podcasts, but let me tell you, if you're out there listening, Anthony, you are my Big Ten baller of the week.
That's awesome. When you started that off with this guy's 100 years old, I thought you meant like a fifth year senior and you were making a joke. No, he's actually 100 years old.
Literally 100 years old.
That's awesome. And I hate Ohio State as much as the next guy. It's Ohio State Hate Week. You'll get there. But I mean, that script Ohio is really cool. And that's a great story. A veteran, a dude who's 100, just out there living his best life. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. And from the original Ohio State Band, like the original incarnation of it. That's pretty cool.
That's amazing. That's really, really cool. Well, damn, this is supposed to be a Penn State podcast, but I'm about to give mine to an Ohio State guy, too. Fuck. All right, well, he's going to get an honorable mention, and I'll give my actual award to someone else. It's Dwayne Haskins for me, the quarterback for Ohio State. I hate, like, giving credit, but this dude is just – he's balling out. He had
– Yeah, I'm worried about
21 of 24 for 304 yards and 5 touchdowns. That's pretty impressive, right?
Yes.
That was in the first half.
Oh, God.
All of that was in the first half.
I guess
304 yards, 5 touchdowns. I'm worried. I mean, I don't want to spoil too much of the preview, but he is clearly the best passing quarterback that they've had in the last, you know, however many years from Braxton and JT and Cardale. Like, this dude's arm opens up their offense so much more. And you talked about our secondary playing better. They're going to need to. So let the record show that Dwayne Haskins is my honorable mention. He did not actually win the award because can't have two Ohio State guys winning it.
Fair enough.
So my Big Ten baller of the week is going to go out to Purdue. Started the season 0-3, and they take down number 23, Boston College, and do it handedly, 30-13. Mm-hmm. Their quarterback, who I gave a shout-out as the baller last week, David Blau, he had another good game, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. Rondell Moore, the receiver who everybody fell in love with, you remember that first – I think it was, like, the first game of the season. It was a Thursday night. He's, like, number 4, I think, and he was just, like, running circles on everybody.
Yeah, I almost gave him my Big Ten ball of the week.
Yeah, he had a good game. 8 receptions, 110 yards, 2 touchdowns. So, good for Purdue. Getting,
and a really impressive
some recognition.
Touchdown, too. Where he
it was.
Bounced off this one hit, and he's a special player.
Yeah, he is. So, good for Purdue getting their first win and taking down a ranked opponent. So, my Big Ten ball of the week, Purdue. Cool. Big Ten bozo. So this is pretty self-explanatory. Who's a bozo for you in the Big Ten this week?
I'm throwing a little shade here because I'm sitting here in my sister's apartment, who is a graduate of Rutgers University, and I'm giving my Big Ten bozo of the week to Rutgers University, losing 42-13 to Buffalo. Now, Buffalo's 4-0. I will give them that. However,
but it's Buffalo.
Their wins are against Delaware State, Temple, and Eastern Michigan.
Oh, that's ugly, man. That's bozo worthy. And then this is the problem with Rutgers.
Rutgers should scrap the program. And I gotta tell you, I don't totally disagree.
I mean, that money can be used elsewhere. Like, there's a lot of good nonprofits you can give back. Yeah, that's tough, man. And when Rutgers tries to, like, talk smack or anything, you point to games like this, and it's like, dude, come on.
They're a real joke of a program, and I feel bad saying it, not only because my sister went there, but my uncle actually used to be the president of Rutgers University, and he's a great guy.
Really? Shout out to your uncle.
It's just a total joke of a program.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I'm sure they have a lot of good things going for them. Football is not one of them.
They've got a good wrestling team. That's about
there you go.
Going in terms of sports at that school. And who cares about soccer and lacrosse? they're not nearly as good as our wrestling program, but they've got a good wrestling program.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, Rutgers, this week you are a bozo. For me, it's going to go to – I don't know their names exactly, so I'll just say Iowa as a program. And this is a bit of a stretch, but it just pissed me off because I really wanted to see Wisconsin lose because I'm sick of seeing Wisconsin win the West without really having to try. They lost to BYU. If they lost this week, that's kind of their season. It was a back and forth game. It was defensive battle. I think they scored one touchdown each in the first half. So kind of, it was like very boring. It was, you know, run the ball. Iowa has a shot, and it's at home. Iowa's at home at night. Kinnick Stadium is I mean, that place is electric. They've got their version of their stripe out going with the yellow and black. They do that great tradition that everybody loves where they wave to the children's hospital. I think that's one of the coolest things in college sports right now.
Agreed.
And they have a chance to win it. So they're down 21-17. I think there's only like a minute left. And they're not, I wouldn't say driving, but they have an opportunity. And Nate Stanley, quarterback, I won't even put this completely on him because it's not his fault, but he makes an ill-advised pass. It gets deflected. Wisconsin intercepts it. Game over. And then they actually score to make the score look much worse than it should be. So they win 28-17. So Iowa, I mean, you had a chance and you just let it slip through. This is kind of how Penn State beat them last season. It's like you have a chance and on the last minute you just kind of fall apart. So Iowa, you are my bozo of the week.
Yeah, and you made a good point about like kind of just watching Wisconsin walk through the Big Ten West. The Big Ten West is such a joke.
It is.
So you've got Wisconsin, obviously, who's going to win now. The only contender they had at all was Iowa because you've got a 1-2 Northwestern team who looks horrible. You've got Minnesota, who's 3-1. I don't think they're going to hold up real well in Big Ten play. And then you've got Illinois, who's obviously terrible. Purdue, who until this win this week looked like one of the worst teams in the country. And then Nebraska, who also looks like one of the worst teams in the country.
Yeah, exactly. So I will say, and you know what I've noticed too, because I've listened back to our podcasts when we do them. I say the words "I will say" a lot, so I'm gonna work on that. But I will say for now, Wisconsin does have a decent schedule. Like they have Michigan, and then they have us late in the season. So, I mean, I'm chalking that up to a win for us. I think it's gonna be a very good game, but I have full confidence. So there's a chance because right now Wisconsin and Iowa are both 3-1. We play both of them, I believe. I think Iowa might play Michigan as well. I
Yeah,
don't know, but
we
either way,
play.
like, yeah. So there's, I mean, there's a shot that it comes down to maybe Iowa sneaks one more win than Wisconsin does. But all in all, I'm sick of Wisconsin.
Yeah, like I said, that their conference, I mean, their division is just such a joke.
It is. I think the Big
It's
Ten
really
needs
frustrating that
to.
you've got two. They decided to split the Big Ten up into two divisions. And in one of those divisions, you've got Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State. And then in the other, you just have Wisconsin and sometimes Iowa, depending on the year.
Yep. And Nebraska, if it's like 10 years ago.
And Nebraska's been horrible recently.
Really bad. So, yeah, I don't know if they need to restructure. I don't think the Big Ten really works with two divisions just because it's going to be the same shit every year. I almost want to see, like, for the Big Ten, for as many good teams as
I
there
like the
are,
divisions.
just
I think
give me.
it's too big to not have divisions.
Yeah, but can't you do something like just the two best teams in the Big Ten play for the Big Ten championship so you can get a Penn State Ohio State or a Penn State Michigan or a Penn State and someone else because I'm not going to name another team.
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to be Penn State. That's
Yeah,
obvious.
of course.
This is true.
Yeah, but it's just like I don't know. It's one of those where if you're gonna have it this way, you kind of have to restructure. But the way college football
I
goes, you
do
never
agree
know
with you
who's
there
going to be
because
good.
you can't tell me that Wisconsin's the second best team in the Big Ten this season.
No, absolutely not. And they haven't been in previous years. You know, there have been plenty of years where it should be two teams from the East, and it just doesn't work that way. And then if it was just the Big Ten championship and that was all, I don't give a fuck. But it plays so strongly now into the college football playoff. It's just like,
Yeah.
you know, we've seen it where if you don't win your conference championship, or if you do, depending on how the committee's feeling, you know, that's somewhat of a factor. When you've got four teams that all open the season in the top, what, 15, 20, they shouldn't all be in the same division of a conference.
That's ridiculous.
But that's it. So short episode, like I said, we're coming up on 50 minutes. I always say short, and then we just ramble.
Me too. 50 minutes is that's a quick episode right there.
Yeah, that's true. Not bad though. Good week. We are 4-0. We will have a full Ohio State preview later this week. One part of this game that I'm very surprised you didn't mention, and we're gonna give a shout out on the way out. Best quarterback in the country. Sean Clifford,
Right, baby.
one for one, 44
Man
yards. I mean,
hasn't thrown an incomplete pass yet.
it was an absolute dime to Mack Hippenhammer.
Should have been a touchdown, too.
I'm very surprised Tommy Stevens did not get in the game. Very
So am
surprised.
I. It must be like one of those things where his injury is kind of lingering, and he can go if we need him to, but if we don't need him to, we're not. We want to kind of be conservative with him, and it might also be a thing with like you said kind of not revealing the whole playbook during Illinois.
True.
Maybe we don't want to reveal, you know, everything we're doing with Tommy Stevens this season before it gets to the games that really matter.
Yeah, and if that's the case, I'm totally fine with it. And same with the injury. Like, why put him in there if you don't need to? I just figured once they were pulling Trace out, like, you'd want to get him a couple of reps so he's in, you know, game speed and ready to go. But
I agree with you.
It's hard to do when you have the best quarterback in the nation in Sean Clifford. So that's it for this week. Ever of all time. That's it for this week. No names, all Gabe. Check us out. As always, Instagram, Twitter. You can listen on iTunes, Spotify, Anchor. I probably don't need to say that because if you're listening to this, you know where to listen.
I don't think we need to sell them on the podcast while we're listening.
Fair enough. Follow us on social media. Check us out. Tell your friends. Another great week for the good guys. We are.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.